This is Joe Biden, and you are listening to the Bugle Weekly Selection Special.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to this edition of the Bugle Weekly. This is your co-host, Richard Greaser. Joining me, as usual, is your co-host, Rod Palmer. How are you doing today, Rod?
Doing well. The daylight savings time is hitting me pretty hard. It's already dark. We usually record this in the light. So, we just got to get rid of, get on the time chain standard. So we're having these fiat clocks.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be great if we started using Bitcoin as a clock instead of regular clocks.
Use the time chain calendar. Like, that's what I use. That's what I wish I could use. It's every 10 minutes on average is a new block. That's all I need. I don't need to get out of work and it's already dark. I'm just being depressed. It's like, I just work, enough blocks a day instead of 9 to 5.
Yeah. I mean, there's all these creative standards that we, like, culturally that we can create, because being Bitcoiners, having one, writing history, we set the standards for the larger culture as a whole.
Right.
And so if we, made sure we have to start with the Bitcoin companies, right? I think that we should set the standard that you're not a Bitcoin company unless you operate on Bitcoin time instead of fiat time.
Exactly. It's companies changed work culture through HR and through work from home. Mm-hmm. Well, now, as we have already won, as we take over, we can change it to the block standard, the block time standard.
I know Rob Hamilton has been pretty forward thinking with this one. He, sits with his computer open with mempool.space. Open so you can see the blocks tick in, and he communicates that way.
But you don't want to judge. You don't want to be like Rob Hamilton. You want to love your job. You want to love your job so much that you're not staring at mempool to just watch the blocks pass. Like, you want to just work so hard that you look up and you're like, holy shit, it's been 144 blocks and I've been working this whole time. Mm-hmm. Instead of being like, oh, I'm just staring, it's only been 2 blocks. When you stare at a time chain, blocks come in slower. It's just the way it works. Especially if you're ocean, like they're barely ever getting a block. And when they do, it's not enough to pay out their pool profitably. So they're just staring. It's like, seems like it's taking forever. And you see Big Axes winning over them.
Yeah. I mean, imagine how rich NVK would be if we got a block clock into every home.
Put a block clock in every office, right up there next to like LA, London, New York, Singapore.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many creative ways for NVK to make money. Part of it is just to continue on the marketing campaign that he's been on, because that has brought him a lot of business.
I wonder if he could make a Rolex block clock watch that you could wear on your wrist. That would be probably one of the coolest things to wear at a conference. People would love that. They would know that you were like really rich if you had a Rolex block clock.
Well, I think the popular product that everybody's looking for from CoinKite is a cold card butt plug.
Donald Trump wants to ban gender equality and reverse all the progress women have made over the last century. He thinks women should be confined to the kitchen instead of making equal salaries working in HR departments that power the economy. Under Project 2025, women will be barred from being able to equally participate in World War III by being drafted. Sexism isn't sexy, and it sure as hell isn't patriotic. That's why Kamala Harris has a different plan. Under the Harris plan, she will usher in a new feminist future by opening the draft to women, ensuring that trans women are not excluded from involuntarily serving their country during World War III. I am U.S. Space Force Brigadier General Amanda Schwartz, commander of the 1st Orange Beret Battalion and the 1st Female Space Force General. I support Kamala Harris because I support a woman's right to be drafted to die for our great nation.
I know that has been very popular demanded after Need Creations misunderstood some of the lyrics to one of your songs.
Right. It'd be really great to have an air-gapped butt plug.
Yeah, I just have a question for Need Creations. You know, why is his mind initially jumping to butt plugs? Like, does he interact with a lot of feds, or like, you know, what?
Right, Need Creations, he's always posting like Bible verses and stuff, but the first thing he hears, instead of block clock, when you hear that, you immediately, as Bitcoiner, knew what I'm talking about, but he immediately thought of butt plugs.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the thing that's really hard for a lot of people that either grew up very religious or are religious is, like, you know, their whole life they were told not to think about sex. And what that does is it inevitably makes you think about sex. And so you can kind of get distorted. Yeah. So
makes you think about nothing but sex, yeah.
I would just assume.
They even make shoes like Adidas all day. I dream about sex. That's what comes from those really repressed Christian cults.
Yeah, I would just assume if there's a Bitcoiner out there who's posting Bible verses on Twitter, that they probably are thinking about sex a little bit more than the average person, and might be thinking about Lynn Alden a little bit too much.
Right. One time when it was announced that Twitter was going to add something where you could only block people from DMing you, but you wouldn't block them from like seeing your tweets. And I said, like, that is a simp's nightmare. Like, cause I know like simps like to DM the hot girls. And he replied, oh shit, that's so true. So he got it. He sent in some horny DMs.
Yeah. I mean, I think like
have you ever sent any of those?
Horny DMs?
Yeah.
No.
No. Do you think Shinobi has?
That's a good question. Speaking of Shinobi on that topic, I had this brilliant idea. So, you know, us at the Beagle, we've been trying to hook up Shinobi with a lovely lady in the space for a while. Like, we believe that we have what it takes to find him, his dream woman. And, you know, we started with D++, and fortunately that didn't work out. But I think Angela McArdle, the chair of the Libertarian Party, would be a pretty good candidate for Shinobi.
Yeah, and if David Bailey was saying that they might get press credentials to the White House, and he would send Shinobi as the Bitcoin Magazine political correspondent, and him living in Washington, D.C., being able to interact and start going out on dates with, and taking Angela McArdle to meetups, that could be a romance for the, you know, for the ages. That could be the next Sam and Natalie.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it'd be the next so
orange
wild.
Wedding. That could be the next orange wedding.
It'd be the one of the orangest weddings. And she's been warming up to Bitcoin. She's kind of interested in it. She sees it's already won. Imagine the Twitter spaces that would result from Shinobi and Angela McArdle. And like, maybe what Shinobi feels right now, you know, cause I imagine he'll be listening to this. Imagine what he's feeling right now is, you know, some intimidation, you know, cause she's a very powerful lady and she, you know, has accomplished a lot through her time, you know, climbing the party leadership of the Libertarian Party, and, you know, just through brute force, essentially, and autism. And, you know, if he is truly the White House press, you know, relation, if he's able to, if he has credentials into the White House.
The top journalists, yeah. Like the top journalist in the whole industry.
Well, she'll want that because the Libertarians have almost had zero success getting in the White House and probably will continue to have a much harder time. But, you know, because Trump is an orange-pilled Bitcoin pleb, Shinobi could get her access to him.
That would be huge, and really, they could go on dates to the Washington Monument and to, you know, Japanese restaurants where they have weird noodle sushi things that Shinobi loves, and he could tell her about all his favorite Japanese culture, and she would probably really think that was really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when I look at Angela McArdle, you know, the first thing I think is this woman loves anime.
Right. Like, it would be hard for them to go out and be seen together by the paparazzi because it'd be so consumed to watch an anime like Blue Eyed Samurai in his apartment instead of, you know, hitting the town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, like, you know, one of the biggest, like, setbacks that they would have in their relationship is, you know, they both like to argue. But she kind of has a law background. She's not a real lawyer. She's just, like, a lawyer's assistant or something like that. I think
she listened to a lot of, yeah, she's listened to a lot of law podcasts.
Yeah. But, you know, when they started arguing, it'd probably feel very similar to the times that he argued with Terrence Yang in Spaces. So that might be exactly a little bit difficult.
Exactly what I was thinking about. She's probably a little bit more masculine than Terrence.
Oh, she definitely is. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like to get in an argument with your spouse and be reminded of Terrence Yang every time you do it? Just how terrible that would be.
No, you want to be reminded of Dennis Porter in those situations. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of the opposite of that would be Terrence Yang. Exactly, like missing the Terrence Yang in Spaces, like audio of that is like how they would demoralize like prisoners of war, like in a camp. They would just play carrots over the loudspeakers all day long.
We are days out from the most important selection in human history. American democracy is on the line, and you have the chance to solidify your mark on history by voting. Think about how you want your kids and grandkids to remember you. Do you want them to remember that you spent your time and energy trying to make the world better? Or do you want them to remember you as someone who did their sacred duty to our nation by deferring your thinking to the media and your agency to politicians? Your vote is your voice. Your consent is your power. Your support of government is the legacy you will pass down to your children. Don't spend your time doing productive things and thinking about the future. Submit to non-compliant politicians and let your voice be heard.
Remember, your children will remember what you did in this moment. In the future, when they own nothing and are eating bugs as a result of your vote, they will be grateful. They will think, wow, my parent voted in the most important selection of their lifetime. Aren't you grateful for the legacy that your parents passed down to you? Do the same for future generations by voting on November 5th.
Yeah. Well, one of the keys of being in a relationship with somebody is you set the ground rules for how to argue. You know what I mean? Because, like, you just have to expect that arguing is, you know, just an inevitability because you're two different people with two different people. Unless, like, one of you isn't using your brain in the relationship, there's going to be some arguments. Like, you know, my wife and I, we sometimes get in arguments over, you know, like, very important topics about, like, how to raise our child. Like, you know, how many Marlboro cigarettes is it okay for our kid to smoke in a day? You know, and,
right,
like,
right.
On special occasions, I would say, like, a good, like, 30 cigarettes would be fine, but I don't want them doing that every day.
Yeah, you think about it, like, there's a lot of families who are, one side of the family grew up smoking Camels, one side of the family, or maybe Winston's, one side Marlboro, and then you have to decide, like, do you want your kid to smoke a Marlboro or a Camel? And, mm-hmm. like, you have to make that decision at some point before they light their first cigarette.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the yeah. It's...
I mean, if you go, you know, you can go to certain places, and it's like, they smoke Newports there. They smoke menthols, or they smoke Marlboros. It's kind of a privilege to grow up and find somebody who smokes the same cigarette brand as you.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of households, like, if you bring your girlfriend home for Christmas or something, you know, for the first time to meet the family, and she smokes menthols, like, you know, that could really cause some conflict in some families.
Right. And it's, if they come home smelling like Newports, you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah. I don't know. If my kid came home smelling like Newports, I'd probably be pretty upset with him. He knows better than smoke menthols. The worst though, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine what it'd be like to, like, bring your girlfriend home with you, and for her to, you know, like, I can't imagine it, you know, when my son grows up, he brings his girlfriend home for Christmas, and she brings a vape with her and says, I actually quit smoking.
Or what if he brings, like, his friend home, his buddy from the football team or from the jiu-jitsu team, and he pulls out a Virginia Slim at Christmas, and then that sparks a weird conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if my son's girlfriend brought a vape, I would ask her immediately if she was retarded. Like, I couldn't help myself.
What if she brought home somebody who was, he talked funny, like somebody from Australia or from England, and he was smoking a Parliament?
Well, this is something, this is the immaturity of a lot of girls, you know, when they're in high school and in middle school, which is that, you know, they find people that are different or it's almost like they're exotic, you know, like when the funny talker from Ireland comes as a foreign exchange student, you know, they could be, you know, not have any, like, special skill sets. They might not be very creative or smart, but because they talk funny, they instantly become more interesting.
Right. And that's a huge mistake to make. And like somebody that talks funny, people will mistake them for being smarter, like, you know, versus somebody from the South who has an accent, they'll mistake them for being dumber. And it's always, it's just a trap.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of, you know, I guess Bitcoin doesn't fix the fact that people vape, unfortunately, and that people smoke menthols, and that,
yeah. And if you can start mining from vapes, it's going to be even harder to get people to not to do it, because people love to do really unprofitable mining activities, and vaping would just be just a great chance for people to lose money.
Yeah, I agree. I think we did it. We ran an article. Juul was trying to put an ASIC chip in their vapes.
Right. It's coming. It's just a matter of time. We don't want to lose track of what this episode's supposed to be about. We're supposed to be talking about the selection coming up. And there's been a lot of crazy stuff in the news this week, which nothing bigger and nothing more tragic than the state execution of Peanut the Squirrel. Which happened on Friday. The state of New York showed up to the infamous TikTok squirrel Peanut, kidnapped him from his house and took him to be euthanized on the weekend. It's caused quite an uproar. Did you see this stuff?
Yeah, I did. I saw, you know, a bunch of people tweeting about this, you know, and I got pretty upset. I think one of the worst types of people in our society is the type of person that looks at something like that, and the first question they have is, but who will build the roads?
Right. Well, right now they're too busy killing Peanut to build the roads. The roads are a piece of shit.
Yeah.
They're not Peanut's dead.
Well, I think, like, when the average person sees something like that, they say that there's something completely wrong with this concept of government as we understand it and participate in it today. They say enough is enough. You know, we know that Hillary Clinton has, you know, killed a bunch of journalists and politicians and all sorts of people, a bunch of Haitians. you know, Hillary Clinton, her murder body count is higher than Dennis Porter's orange pill body count.
Crazy.
Or rivaling it. Dennis might be pulling ahead. But now that she killed this chipmunk, it's just a step too far. In this government thing, we can't allow these non-compliant government agents, you know, to continue running ruckshaw through right. society. And the first thing they think of when they come to that conclusion is, who will build the roads? Like, fucking
well, yeah, this makes me think that it's one thing to kill your political rivals, but when you start killing cute content creators on TikTok, that's when people are going to start to notice and start to ask questions, and they're going to start to demand answers.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Peanut very well might decide this election. That yeah, might have been the thing that pushed it over the edge.
Speaking of his death, this week is Peanut's funeral. It's to be held in New York City in one of the beautiful cathedrals in Manhattan. And it's going to be attended by Dennis Porter, of course, the Hawk, Tulip Girl, Haley Welch, and Michael Saylor is said to be in attendance. And there will be a lot more, but those are some big names. That's going to be one of the biggest funerals on TikTok probably ever.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, are you going to tune into the? Are you going to watch the funeral live stream?
Of course I am. Yeah, I mean, like, this is like, you know, whenever like a famous politician dies, you know, you always see these videos of like Bill Clinton and Obama and Biden and Bush and, you know, whoever else going to these funerals. And we'll probably have to hire a lip reader to try and, you know, see what Dennis and Haley and Michael Saylor are saying to each other.
I'm sure they're going to be talking about, I mean, Saylor and Dennis Porter will be flattering each other over who is orange pilling the most people. But Saylor, of course, will only be gracious by letting Dennis Porter tell him that he's orange pilled more, because everybody knows Dennis Porter has the highest orange pill count.
100%. I don't think Dennis even needs to say that to Saylor. I'm pretty sure Dennis probably has the keys to Saylor's yacht. Like, Saylor probably, you know, gets very excited, both emotionally and sexually when he interacts with Dennis, because he knows that Dennis is pumping his bags so hard.
Right. Like, he invites Dennis out. Like, Michael Saylor's yacht parties are very notorious for the cocaine usage, so they need somebody like Dennis Porter on there at the end of the night when, you know, it's time to go back and do some business.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a pretty big funeral. I can't say I've actually ever used TikTok, but this is probably be what it takes for me to get on TikTok to launch it.
For sure. Other news this week. Robert Breedlove, in a very surprising, he endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris for president, but it seems like it was kind of a psyop. It didn't really mean what he said. Do you know about this?
Well, I'd like to hear more from you, because I believe you broke this story. But
right. So it kind of goes back to the Diddy Party thing. Everybody who's anybody, all the biggest stars, all the biggest celebrities, they've all been known associates of Diddy. They've been to his parties, and these parties are out of control. And there's some really bad things that have happened at these parties. So nobody actually wants to be on film having attended one of these parties, but if you weren't invited to one, that means you weren't very cool. You weren't very famous. So he made this endorsement to give the impression that he had been invited to these parties because he wants his followers to think that he's cool enough to get into them.
Yeah. Well, this is a real classic example of fake it until you make it.
Right.
I don't know if it'll be successful.
I think people saw right through it. I think he's so self-serving that people just realized, oh, he's trying to... This is a marketing stuff.
No, he's not. He's not authentic like Dennis is. Not at all.
Right, exactly. And that's... He's probably feeling insecurity about Dennis's status and position at the top of the pyramid. He's trying to usurp it.
Yeah.
But he's using he's trying to take a shortcut, trying to cheat his way to the top.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, I think this is that we discussed last week if we were going to endorse candidates, and I think I came to a conclusion on mine. I don't know where you're at with yours, but one of the reasons why I don't really believe in selections in general and participating in them is because we all know that all the decisions are made at the Diddy parties. And so essentially, if you want to actually make any real changes, you either need to support somebody who's a representative for you at the Diddy parties, or you have to go yourself. And most people don't have the capability of going themselves to actually influence any change. So they have to rely on these other people, which is, you know, kind of a difficult thing to do. Cause like, how do you verify instead of trusting that this individual is going to a Diddy party and they're actually representing your interests?
Well, that's why, you know, PodConf has been sending its best podcasters to the Diddy parties because they have that leverage and that influence over them based on the fact that they sponsor their content.
And I personally can't stomach the idea of either going to or sending somebody to a Diddy party. I feel like it's just like, it's not the way I want to create change in the world. I'm not going to accept that you have to participate in that. And I think the intellectual Silk Road exists as a way to build something, you know, apart from participating in Diddy parties.
Right. It's, you know, credit where credit's due. People like Corey and David Bailey have made a lot of impact on this industry. But, you know, sending, you know, Camilla and Natalie and the girls from Bitcoin Magazine to Diddy parties on their company's behalf, it's hard to make that choice, but it's, I guess, that they feel comfortable doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. To all the Bitcoin influencers that are listening to us, like, you know, please don't stoop to the level of going to a Diddy party. Like, there is another way.
Right, you don't have to do it. Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, the individual comes in of like, you know, I'm not going to really give you a hard time if you vote either way for Trump, Kamala, or Chase Oliver, or Dennis Porter as a write-in. You know, I'm not going to give you a hard time or police you. There's already enough people trying to police you on whether you did vote or not. But I will give you a hard time if you go to a Diddy party. I promise you that. That's just, I don't know.
It's one thing to vote, and you know, whether it makes a difference or not, that's to be debated. But once that vote is over, you don't have to go afterwards to a Diddy party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, I didn't read anything about changing, like, getting rid of central banking via Diddy parties in the Bitcoin standard. Like, I don't think Saifedean included any of that. That's not why I got into this thing. You know what I mean?
Right. It's not separating, like, state from lube. It's separating money from state.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that was all the celebrity PodConf endorsements like this. It's been an interesting week on that regard. It seems like the majority of people are kind of rooting for Trump. And yeah, I don't know if it's Peanut Squirt the squirrel. I don't know if it's him being a Bitcoin pleb.
Well, he did sell the Cassatius coin, Bitcoin that David gave him at the conference. And Predator reported that one this week, and it kind of created a flurry of ordinals. So Predator is now responsible for a big flurry of ordinals transactions. I wonder how he feels about that one, having kicked that off.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the things that, you know, journalists have to understand, is that sometimes when you break a story, there's unintended fallout from it. And I don't think he intended to become the world's biggest ordinals influencer, you know, of the week.
But it's interesting because, you know, everybody knows that Putter is watching everything you do. So Donald Trump had a Bitcoin putter, immediately found his on-chain address and started sleuthing and saw that he sold it. And I think he was worried about it becoming an ordinals. So his fear kind of, it was like a self-reinforcing action, where it was his fear of Donald Trump's Bitcoin becoming an ordinal that led him to report on it and it make it become, in fact, an ordinal. Nobody knew about that sale until Predator reported on it.
Yeah. Well, I think there's something interesting here about what, you know, Trump might be doing. And I think it's like a good time to speculate, you know, what's going on here. We have to understand he's very early on his journey. He hasn't listened to 40 hours of podcasts a week for very long, if he even does, which I kind of have a feeling he doesn't. He never lived through the 2017 bull run, and so he didn't get to see, you know, the rise of shitcoins. And I think because he is shitcoining so hard, you know, as everybody can see through Pledator's reporting on the topic, that, you know, he's just at this stage, and like maybe he has this belief that, so I bet you what he did is he probably converted the Bitcoin into USDT, and he has this idea that, you know, he's going to have the US Treasury buy a bunch of Bitcoin, and bail out, you know, the government pensions and stuff like that, and back the dollar with Bitcoin, therefore pumping the Bitcoin price, like almost, or sorry, the dollar price, the USDT price. So it's almost like he kind of has that, you know, I'm too late syndrome. Like, I didn't have the opportunity to buy enough Bitcoin, so I'm going to pump my shitcoin instead.
Right. And that's why we need the right person on the inside to tell them, like, how early we are, and that he's just gambling on shitcoins, and this is not going to end well. I mean,
yeah, and I've got a question for people in general. Like, do you want to give a guy like that your Bitcoin, or do you want to give it to people that are actually going to use it?
Right.
In a way that, like, you're going to give your Bitcoin to somebody that's just going to go and shitcoin, or do you want, like, this is part of the reason why I love to do non-KYC cigarette transactions, is because I know the recipient of my hard-earned Bitcoin is not going to go and shitcoin.
Right. It's like, instead of going into a business and giving them a list of Bitcoin podcasts that they have to listen to, show them how they can pay you, or they can pay anybody under the table, and avoid, you know, a bunch of HR and paperwork if they just paid you in sats, and not make it easy for them to pay you in Bitcoin. Show them how we can benefit them and benefit their entrepreneurial goals, instead of being like, you have to listen to all these Bitcoin podcasts and just buy this Bitcoin and put it on your treasury so you can pay more taxes to the government.
Totally. This might be our last topic before we hop into the booze here in a minute. So Ron Paul has officially endorsed Dogecoin as the future, you know, medium of exchange. And he did that in exchange for Elon Musk bringing him on to the Department of Government Efficiency, aka Doge, that is reportedly going to be set up.
That surprised me. I really thought anybody that would be swayed or persuaded by the digital gold narrative of Bitcoin, it would be Ron Paul. But apparently he's gone with Doge.
Ron Paul's always been pretty neutral on Bitcoin for some reason. He's never really jumped into it. And I think a lot of libertarians, they get in this trap where they're so used to listening to 40 hours of podcasts a week, but they're listening to political philosophy instead of Bitcoin. And this is like one of the biggest like issues that has come out from the Mises Institute existing, is right. generating all this podcast content that doesn't like, you know, they'll mention Bitcoin once in a while, but there's a reason why Peter St. Ange went and did his own thing instead of continuing on with them. You know what I mean?
Right. It's a lot of Bitcoin podcasts, they have a tendency to do this too, where they'll just stray off of the core message, the core orange pilling thesis, and they'll just get into this political philosophy side, the rabbit hole. And it really detracts from the important message.
Yeah. No, I noticed this on I know Simply Bitcoin fans have called them this before, but there's a derogatory nickname for Simply Bitcoin, which is Simply Statism. And right. It seems like that is kind of resurfacing again as Nico's focusing a little bit more on political philosophy and voting strategy instead of
right. He's trying to be like Tim Pool. Yeah, I think he sees himself as like the Tim Pool of Bitcoin YouTube.
Yeah,
I mean, but he has too much hair. He needs to realize he can never be like Tim.
Yeah, yeah. There's something about being a bald political commentator that always wears a beanie everywhere you go that Nico's just never going to be able to
right,
live like up to.
Nico's hairstyle, especially with the blonde streak like that, you can't get, the feds will never hire you unless you cut your hair.
Yeah. Well, do you see he grew out of the blonde streak? He's not doing that nonsense anymore. He's acting like a grown-up with a real haircut.
He's been talking about politics, and that's why.
Yeah. It's like you're not going to get in the club rocking a yellow streak in your hair. You know what I mean?
That's how you get censored. I mean, if you saw P2C Sessions, his video on the fork of Samurai, was it Ashigaru? Mm-hmm. It was suppressed. You can't search for it on YouTube now.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, All the executives at YouTube were definitely going to Diddy parties, so what do you expect? It's one of the reasons why I don't really care for that platform. Like, I don't think we've posted any of our work over there yet, or probably ever will.
Do you think he's ever been invited to a Diddy party?
Have I?
No, simply.
No, probably not. I think, like, you know, when people look at them, they think, okay, this, you know, these guys have a YouTube show. They're not anything special. They don't have credentials, you know, for one. That's like one of the things that's like kind of important is like you have to get credentials of some sort to get into those parties for the most part.
That's true. That's true. That is one of the pitfalls of credentials is that you get invited to so many parties. Mm-hmm. And you have to have good, smart, you have to have just a good philosophy for how you navigate things like that, because you're going to get a lot of invitations.
Yeah. Now, you know, my, like the thing that I would ask about Nico, you know, is like, he hasn't been to any Diddy parties, but I wouldn't be surprised if he got invited to the Swan Sex Cult. Now, I don't know if he would have attended it or not, and I'd like to think he didn't, because I consider him a colleague, and even though I might take issue with some of the things he does from time to time, I still have some respect for him. But yeah, I mean, that's totally a potential. Like, I feel like the Swan Sex Cult is essentially the minor leagues for Diddy parties. You know what I mean?
Right, it's like the AAA baseball for Diddy parties. It'd be the Swan Sex Hall. The lube is going to be, it's going to have the same amount of lube. It's just not going to have the same amount of star power. It's going to have like Fred Krueger. Who wants to go to a sex party with Fred Krueger?
Yeah.
Some people might. But,
yeah.
And Lynn Olin might be there. That might be a big draw.
Wow, that would be...
That is a big draw to a sex hole party as well, is there.
Yeah. I mean, that's a huge temptation that people have to resist. I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to have to face the temptation of knowing that Lynn Alden's at a party like that. Like, how do you turn that down?
especially once you've already taken mind-altering substances, you might just forget about your responsibility to your credentials and just to your own integrity, especially as she flashes that ear.
Like, I mean, what's so interesting to think about a party like that is, like, you know, maybe what the Swan Sex Cult is it's people that are, like, not, like, normally aroused by, like, normal sex. But they go and they sit around and they, you know, feel themselves up as they listen to themselves talk about Bitcoin podcast stuff. And then, like, what the tapes of it are to, like, entrap them is essentially either exploring non-PodConf approved ideas or, you know, essentially, like, podcasting as you're, you know, getting aroused and feeling yourself while you're hearing yourself talk. You know what I mean? It's a little bit different.
Right. I just imagine, I was thinking about the Swan Sex Cult parties where everybody kind of like the Eyes Wide Shut movie where they've got those weird masks on, but it's like, instead of, it's like a swan with a swan beak, it's like a long nose. And I could just see them walking around and it's like, you never know, like you might be bumping into Lynn Alden or Max Kaiser. And that would just be a totally, just the different experiences you would have in those conversations. It'd just be so interesting to think about.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the draws to things like that, events like that, is the potential to hear your favorite podcaster, you know, essentially podcast in real life.
Yeah, like podcast conversation with hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah. Because, I mean, what's the difference between a conversation and a Bitcoin podcast? Like, the line oftentimes is blurred. It's kind of interesting because, like, if you're walking around with your cell phone, there's, like, some assumption that, you know, somebody's listening to you, right? And so I guess, like, the definition of a podcast is recorded audio that's hosted somewhere. That's, like, most people's definition of a podcast. And so if the NSA has the recording of that conversation of two people exchanging ideas or, like, a phone call, for example, I mean, that's essentially a Bitcoin podcast.
That's really difficult. It's really difficult to stay one step ahead of the spooks when we only have access to the part of the Bitcoin podcasts that are broadcast via RSS, whereas the NSA has access to every Bitcoin podcast, and they are listening to every Bitcoin podcast, even the ones that we don't know exist, because they're meant to be in private. They're voicemails. They are audio recordings from a swan salon. They are audio recordings from backstages at conferences. Like, it's everything.
Yeah. It'd be pretty wild if they published all those Bitcoin podcasts.
I think that we deserve that. I think that they should publish all the Bitcoin podcasts so that it's a matter of national security. You want American citizens to have access to all these Bitcoin podcasts, because if we don't, and the Chinese government is hacking us, or the North Korean government's hacking us, and they get access to those Bitcoin podcasts, and their citizens get them before our citizens do, they could dramatically outpace us in the economy, in the national defense sector, you know, everything, Bitcoin mining, everything.
Well, before we hop into the booth, I just want to give my endorsement. So I'm going to endorse Chase Oliver.
People waste their time on all sorts of things. People watch Netflix instead of listening to Bitcoin podcasts. People spend time trying to run and operate an Umbral Lightning node. People living in bustling cities commute by car to work for multiple hours a day just to be unable to afford taxes. You waste your time all the time and you know it. But have you ever considered wasting your time by voting Libertarian? You are wasting your time in all sorts of creative ways, so why not waste some more? You already know that voting for uniparty candidate politicians is a waste of time, so why not mix it up this time and waste it in a slightly different way? Chase Oliver is the alternate choice to waste your time. We know how you want to waste your time is important to you, because time is the most scarce resource on the planet. Do you want to tell your kids and grandkids that you voted for either a fascist or a retard? How about you tell them you wasted your time by voting for a candidate who will never win, and therefore wasn't responsible for any atrocities that will result from the person who did win. Come on, you can waste a little bit more of your time by voting Libertarian on November 5th and keep your conscience clean while doing it. No kids will die in Gaza for your vote for Chase. Libertarians also almost have as many podcasts as Bitcoiners. You know what to do. Waste your time. Please, seriously. I've been volunteering for a political party for years who has accomplished nothing other than pissing off the Prags. Make me feel better by voting for Chase. We could have had Dave Smith, but we don't. Chase is all we got.
Why have you decided to do a gay endorsement?
Well, I heard the most compelling Libertarian voting argument I've ever heard before. We're actually going to, I don't know where we're playing the ad in the show, but it'll play on the show at some point. But essentially, you know, it suggested that, you know, we waste our time in all sorts of different interesting ways, right? So like one of my things I like to waste my time on is I like to, you know, oil and clean my typewriter occasionally. Like, you know, very, very obsessively clean it. Almost like, you know, some individuals like clean their firearms. Because, you know, my typewriter is essentially my firearm. But, yeah, so, you know, they said we waste their time all the time, and that voting is a waste anyways. And so now, why not waste it voting Libertarian? And you can participate in our sacred democracy while not voting for a candidate that's insured to continue allowing the NSA to be the biggest podcasting host in the world. Yeah. That to me is a very compelling reason to vote Libertarian. It's like, I mean, it's a very unique way to waste your time that most of the population has never participated in before.
I think that if I had to guess, I think that Trump is going to win in a landslide. So I think that it opens the possibility for undecided people or people that listen to the people to make their voices heard and to write in Dennis Porter for president. Because if enough people write in Dennis Porter for president, they'll have to show those results on TV. They'll have to talk about Bitcoin on CNN, on MSNBC, CBS. And they're like, how did 2% of, you know, this state vote for Dennis Porter? And they'll have to explain who Dennis Porter is. And once people know who Dennis Porter is, they will start to see him everywhere. And then that will start to, it'll start the orange pill seed growing in their mind.
Yeah, I could totally see. I also agree that Trump's going to win in a landslide, and that he's probably, is Stevie Nicks still alive? Or she dead?
Let's find out. That's Lee from Star Wars, right? Princess Leia?
Stevie Nicks? No. That's,
yeah, she's still alive. She's from Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah. Well, I think we should hop to the boost. I gotta do, like, a speed boost round, unfortunately. I'm the one that has to go run out the door here in a minute. Go chase a story. But, first boost is from MissHoddleNot420 for 15,151 sats. And she says, well, if thinking Lynn Alden is hot makes me gay, maybe I'll find a wife and then our adopted kid will join the army.
Well, I think most adopted kids, they're the best chance they have in the future is to join the army. So, yeah. You know.
Well, and, you know, if you believe that, you could vote for Kamala, who wants... Right.
We'll draft your daughter, equal. Yeah.
Yeah, wants equal rights.
Yeah, which is something I support. The next is from user 87993321, just a smiley face, and he boosted us 5,000 sats, or they boosted us 5,000 sats. So thank you, user 87993321.
Yeah, thank you very much. Next boost is from good friend We All Eat for 2,121 sats, who says, been gone a few weeks, complying with orders, lol. Well, we miss you. Thank you for the boost. I apologize. I got to run out the door so quick. But, yeah, hope to have you back on the next one. I think that this selection special series that we're doing is very important.
Agree. The next one is from Food and Cereal, 500 Sats. Self-custody cereals and take part cereal mixtures for mixers, folks. Also, heard a rumor that Brad Burlinghouse, the CEO of Ripple, is trying to grow his beer like this. Is this justified? Unfortunately, Food and Cereal is not justified. Brad Burlinghouse is trying to gain political reputation and credibility by morphing into looking like Dennis Porter, which is started with growing his beard like Dennis.
Boom. Your boots are in different order than mine. This is really interesting. That threw me off. Man, Brad Burlinghouse, what a guy.
The last three boots are from Old Pies.
It's interesting that, like, I wonder what he probably listens to bit boots and then continues listening. But yeah, I can read them all.
Yeah.
I'll read them off real quick. So I was blasting this shit on my construction site, LMAO, smiley face, laughing face, emoji. Anyone that didn't laugh is my enemy. Actually, that's like a really good, good way to do people. Like, yeah, if you just blast the bugle somewhere and the stuff that we're saying is like offensive to people, then you probably know that they're not good friends to keep.
Right. Yeah, if you blast, I would say the people at work, and if the HR department gets mad at you, it's probably not the job for you.
Yeah. The last two from Pies the Pleb is drive drunk and high and smoke non-KYC cigarettes, and then the usual emojis, the clinking of glasses, mushrooms, cigarettes. Well, thank you very much for the support, Pies, as always. And again, I apologize for having to cut the boost section short. My typewriter that I'm on is an hour behind the time where I'm at for some reason. So that completely threw me off.
Yeah, that's daylight savings time. You gotta update your typewriter. Make sure you do that. But the selection's coming out, and it's gonna be an absolute shit show probably all next week. But as always, the Bugle will be reporting on the most important news that pertains to Bitcoiners. So you don't have to think for yourself.
100%. It's going to be a fun one to watch for sure. Well, we'll catch you next week on the Bugle Weekly and maybe be able to do some commentary on the fallout of what we are witnessing.
We hope this episode has helped to educate you on this election, as well as get you excited to participate in our sacred democracy. There has never been a more important selection in our lifetime. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Bugle Weekly. Before we end, I want to shout out the Bugle music team. Rod Palmer and Richard are dominating the top 40 trending songs right now. Fundamentals is also currently in the top 5. Check out links in the show notes to see where you can find their music. Remember that if you vote, you can't complain. Be brave, be ungovernable, drive drunk, and smoke a lot of cigarettes. This is Kaylee Welch, and we will catch you next week on the world's most thermodynamically sound podcast. I won't be alone. Celebrate psychopaths, something is amiss.
made up by people who are fools. There's more of us than there are of them. They rely on your obedience to protect the system. So far, and it's getting kind of rough. The people are tired of your bullshit and lies. Your arrogance has led to your inevitable demise. You think that losing the 2016 scene selection was bad? You were already losing before you really made the people mad. Being at the chipmunk didn't deserve your wrath. You didn't calculate the risk because you can't do math. Clutching at your pearls. We were done with your antics, but this has gone too far. Remember what your husband did with that cigar.